Chilando Chela is coming from Word Alive Church. Could we just put our hands together as we welcome to come and minister the Word of God? Hallelujah. He's a good Father. He's given us different gifts, operating in a different way, but under the same grace. Amen. Bless you, man of God.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Oh, tried and true, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, oh, for you.
Hallelujah. I greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be back in Miracle Life Family Church. Hallelujah. When I say hallelujah, I want to hear your amen. Amen. I'm not like Pastor Walker. I'm not like Pastor William. You have to accept me the way I am. When I was born loud. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, turn to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, I see you in the future. And you look much better than you look right now. My, my, my. Oh, turn to the neighbor on the other side and tell them something good is going to happen to you. Oh, turn to the neighbor on the other side and tell them today is my day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Listen to me. The devil should have killed you when he had the chance to, but it's too late now. Hallelujah. Somebody said, devil, it's too late now. I'm on the winning side. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we will read verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 21. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say wait a minute. We're waiting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, smiling faces help me preach better. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Just turn to your neighbor. Don't look at me. Look at the person you're sitting next to. And give them the biggest smile you can find on that face. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Lord, we pray today that may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God. Give us revelation knowledge into this your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, transformed into God's image of righteousness. Transformed into God's image of righteousness. God's desire for our lives is for us to keep on looking into the perfect law of liberty, so that we are transformed into his image. He wants us to walk in the same anointing and the same authority that Jesus walked in. It is God's desire that as we live here on earth, we become a reflection of God on the earth. The foundation to experiencing victory and success we earnestly desire is based on our understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. And the Bible here says, for he has made him. Talking about Jesus. God has made him. Made Jesus. To be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin. But he became sin. That we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus was offered up as a sin offering. When you read in the Old Covenant in the book of Leviticus, we see types of offerings that were offered in order for the people of the Old Covenant to be accepted in God or to be brought into the family of God. There are various offerings there, and I won't get into them. But Jesus was offered as a sin offering that we might become the righteousness of God. Transformed into God's image of righteousness. What is God's image of righteousness? What is righteousness? Righteousness is to have a right standing with God. To have a right standing with God. Number two, righteousness means to have rights with God. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we can have rights with God. Righteousness also means that we stand before God without a sense of condemnation, without a sense of guilt, without a sense of shame, without a sense of inferiority. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. Righteousness means you stand before God not guilty. Somebody say, I'm not guilty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you look at me through the corner of your eye and say, I'm not guilty, you become a suspect. Somebody say it confidently, I'm not guilty. Say it again. You see, many times the enemy tries to condemn us, to bring our past to the future or to the present. He wants to remind us of the things that we did before we met Jesus Christ, and he wants us to believe that we are guilty. Every time the devil accuses you or brings you before God, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he will say that you did this, you did that, and you did the other. Now, what do you do when the enemy accuses you and brings you before God, the righteous judge? God will turn around and he will ask you, how do you plead? Listen to me. Just turn to God, the righteous judge, and say, I plead the blood of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Somebody say, I'm not guilty. My. The Bible also shows us that righteousness means to stand before God in unqualified confidence. Hallelujah. Unqualified confidence. It means to stand before God as if Adam had never sinned. Righteousness means to stand before the works of the enemy, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Righteousness also means having equality with God. He who knew no sin became sin for us. There was a divine exchange. I came to God and gave him my sin, and he became sin, and he gave me the righteousness that he had. Hallelujah. I became what he was. Hallelujah. My. We are partakers of his divine nature. So you are not an accident. You are not a nobody. You are special in the plan and the program of God. From glory to glory, he is changing you. When you look into the perfect law of liberty, you will see who you really are in God. My. Now, from creation, it has been God's desire for you to have dominion, to rule, and to reign. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Let's get there. Genesis 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, including all creeps. No, it doesn't say that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. Are you here? Hallelujah. I see seven things that God calls out in that portion of scripture. He comes to Adam and he says, Adam, I'm going to create you in my image and after my likeness. You will become a reflection of me on earth. And he says in verse 28, from verse 28, he says, and God blessed Adam. He blessed him. And then he said, be fruitful. Number two. Number three, he said, multiply. Number four, he says, replenish the earth. Number five, he says, subdue it. Number six, have dominion. And number seven, he says, I have given you every herb bearing seed. As I check this word out, in verse 29, every herb bearing seed, I found that it had a word in the Hebrew called zera. And zera means practitioner of righteousness. We are called to be practitioners of righteousness in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, I'm a practitioner of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God. And so the image he confers on Adam is that of becoming righteous just as God is righteous. God says, Adam, you will become a reflection of myself in the earth. When it goes to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says that God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. Other versions say, and Adam became another speaking spirit just like God. Hallelujah. When you are transformed into the image of God of righteousness, you become another speaking spirit just like God. Everything you say becomes very important. You see, in chapter 2, we see Adam beginning to declare things. And the Bible says, whatever Adam called, that's what it became. And whatever you call as the righteousness of God, it becomes it. If you say you are blessed, then you are blessed. If you say that you are more than a conqueror, then you are more than a conqueror. If you say that God will make a way for me, then he will make a way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2 that we have been ensnared by the words of our mouths. You see, it's not what your neighbor says that matters. What matters is what you say about you. You see, words from somebody else will only take effect when you rehearse them and you repeat them. If somebody says something evil to you, when you know you have the image of God, you are the righteousness of God, you can turn around and say, hey, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm on the winning side, I will make it in life, no weapon fashioned against me shall be able to prosper. What you say is what you are. My. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so you become a practitioner of righteousness. Now, when Adam committed high treason and handed over his authority over the earth, God had a plan already. He sent himself to the earth. He sent his son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 14 that the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father. Jesus came to the earth. Why did he come? Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But more importantly, it is so that you and I could have a fair example. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 8. I want us to understand that we can follow the example of Jesus, who walked in righteousness, who walked in holiness, who walked in the fear of God and the authority of God, and do as he did. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Fashioned as a man. Adam was called to be the God of this world, but he failed and handed over his authority to the enemy. Jesus came and he took back that authority. And how did he do it? He walked in righteousness. He knew he was from the Father. Although he was God, Jesus was in his humanity functioning as a man. He was functioning as a man. He was tempted just like we are, the Bible says, in every angle. Jesus walked in God's image of righteousness. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, and verse 17, that one day he went to the synagogue, and the book was handed over to him, and he opened the book, and he found where it was written. So actually, what happened is that when Jesus came to the synagogue, they gave him the scroll. They gave him the Bible, if we may use that term. And he opened it and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I want you to know that it is time for you to get your Bible and open it up and find yourself in the Scriptures. You need to find yourself in the Word of God. You need to know who you really are in Christ Jesus. My. It's good to read the newspaper, and I do read the newspaper. It's good to read every other book, and I do read a lot of books. But I want you to know that it is important for you to get hold of the Word of God and open it up and find yourself in the Word of God. Are you here? Amen. So Jesus had to meditate on the Word of God. He had to meditate on the Word of God, and he became, until he became what he meditated. He opened up the Word, he meditated on the Word, until he became what he was meditating upon. You don't have to give into the lies of the enemy that God is after your life. God is not after your life. I many times hear all these interesting stories. Oh, brother, I know why I had to go through that car wreck. It is because the Lord was trying to teach me something. Oh, brother, you know why I had to go through that challenging time in my life, sickness and disease. It is because the Lord was trying to teach me something. I have a problem with that. And the problem is, why should God use the utensils of hell to bring you closer to Him? Amen. Why should He use sickness and disease and a car wreck in order for you to get closer to Him that you may walk in your righteousness? When anything like that happens, know that that is an attack from the enemy, from the devil. And you've got to stand up and say, devil, enough is enough. You cannot cross the bloodline. You don't really know who I am. I have overcome you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Don't give in to the lies of the devil. In the Old Testament, there is a story in 2 Kings chapter number 9, from verse 1 to 10. There is a story of a young man called Mephibosheth. Somebody say Mephibosheth. Can you say it louder? Mephibosheth. I can hear somebody at the back saying Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a covenant partner of the king. Of King David. King David had gotten into a covenant with his father, Jonathan. And Mephibosheth did not know, Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, did not know that he had a covenant cut with his father. Hallelujah. That Jonathan, his father, was in covenant with him, and therefore everything that accrued to his father accrued to him. Are you here, church? And so one day, David got up and said, I want to show God love and kindness and goodness to the household of Saul. Is there anyone in the household of Saul to whom I can show love and kindness and tender mercies? And somebody said, yes, there is somebody called Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. He's crippled in both legs. He was dropped as a little boy and he broke both his legs. And word came to him and they said, Mephibosheth, the king wants you at the palace. Mephibosheth saying, no, I can't go to the palace. I think he's coming for my life. He wants to destroy me. When he came to the palace, he said, oh, what do you want me to do? I'm just a dog. What am I supposed to be doing here in the palace? And the king says, take off those clothes, put on royalty on him, let him sit at the table with me. The food that I eat, he will eat also. The table I eat from, he shall eat therefrom. The Bible says God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the image of God. The image of righteousness means you are in covenant with God. And what flows to God, you are entitled in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, I'm entitled. I'm entitled to blessing. I'm entitled to well-being. I'm entitled to a long, satisfied life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm not dying now. I'm still here. Praise God. Just in case you're planning on dying tomorrow. Say, I'm still here. You've got work to do. Amen. How can you walk in God's image of righteousness? Four things. And then I get out of your way. Our foundation scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4 verse 4, the Bible says, and when the fullness of time was come. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. He became sin. He was sent forth. Jesus was sent forth to the earth. And he died for us on the cross, that we might experience the adoption of sons into his family. The first thing is that you need to realize that you have been adopted into the family of God. Somebody say, I'm adopted into the family of God. I discovered something about adoption in the Bible. In the Jewish culture, adoption was so powerful that whoever you adopted, you could not disinherit. You could actually disinherit your own biological child, but not an adopted child. So we have been engrafted into the family of God. And no devil, no demon, nothing can disinherit us from walking in the covenant rights and privileges that we have in Christ Jesus. The only person that can hinder us from enjoying the blessings of God, the goodness of God, is no one but you. Hallelujah. Somebody say, no one but me. Are you here, church? It's only you. You are the only hindrance to your blessing, to your breakthrough. You have been adopted into God's family. The power of adoption. Hallelujah. You can walk in God's image of righteousness by realizing that you are adopted in the family of God. Number two, you have the same anointing that was upon Jesus. Look at verse 6 of Galatians 4. It says in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. The same Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that was guiding and leading and supporting Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that is on your life. The same anointing. Hallelujah. So you can do what he did. My good God. The image of God finds sickness and disease and says, I will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Can you see how much God has deposited in you? The same, not a different Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that was functioning in the life of Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that is at work in your life. What a blessing. Hallelujah. The same Holy Ghost. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5 that I am the vine and you are the... Come on, talk to me, somebody. I am the vine and you are the... Now, the same sap that flows in the vine flows Hallelujah. Is it the same sap or there's a different sap? If the same sap that flows in the vine also flows in the branches. The same Holy Spirit that flows in Jesus, the head of the church, also flows in your life. My good God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm powerful in Christ Jesus. My good God. I feel this deep down my sanctified soul. Number three. Walking in God's image of righteousness means you are an heir of God. Look at verse number 7 of Galatians 4. It says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are an heir of God. You have the same, allow me to use my best English. You have the same exact, equal rights as Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let's dig out this thing. I'm not in a hurry today, praise God. Not in a hurry. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm not in a hurry. You see, I am a teacher and a preacher. I teach the word and I preach the word. But many times, as Brother Hagin said, I preach the word. So when you get teacher and preacher, you put it in one basket, what comes out is treacher. So we're preaching today. Hallelujah. My. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs. Some of your versions say we are co-heirs. You've heard of a co-pilot? Co. The other word, other translations even go a step further and say we are equal heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can do what I see him do. I can have what I see him have. I can walk in the same anointing, in the same authority, in the same privileges, in the same rights that Jesus walks in. Are you here, church? My good God. You have the same exact equal rights with Jesus. Number four, you can call God Father. That's the fourth thing. When you have the image of God, the image of righteousness at work in you, you can now call God Father. The Bible says that he has sent the spirit of his son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means source and sustainer. God is our source and he is our sustainer. When you cry, Abba, Father, you are saying, God, you are my source and my sustainer. But what does it really mean to call God Father? John chapter 5. I came with my gun loaded, so just get it. Just receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we reading too many scriptures? Okay. I've just finished doing my introduction. We'll get into the sermon. John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, but Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why did the Jews want to kill Jesus? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Hallelujah. When you call God Father, you are saying, Father, everything that you have is mine. Hallelujah. Everything that you that is yours is mine. He called God Father, making himself equal with God. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants us to be so blessed, so anointed, so prosperous, walking in so much abundance, just as he lives in abundance. I am told that thieves will not be allowed in heaven because the streets are made of gold and they might be tempted to start digging out the gold. Unfortunately, there will be no market for the gold because the deeper they dig, the more gold that they find. Amen. Hallelujah. Calling God Father means you are making, Jesus was told, making himself equal with God. You can enjoy the privileges that God has for you. And the last verse this morning, John chapter 10 and verse 30. John 10 verse 30. Listen to what the word says. Glory to God. I and my Father are one. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work, we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that you, being an ordinary human being, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If he called them gods unto them, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that he may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And verse 39, these guys were resolved to kill Jesus. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand because he called God Father. Today, the image of righteousness in you should not just address God. Oh, our God. Our omnipotent. And some of us love flabbergasting words. Bombastic words. Our God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God Father. We come into your auspicious presence. God is Father. Father. Call him Father. Amen. When you have a child in the home, they call, when they call you daddy or father, you know they are actually saying everything here is mine. A child in the home doesn't have to get permission to get food in the fridge. When the child is hungry, they will open the fridge and enjoy the food because you are the father. Amen. When a child is always asking, Mommy, Daddy, may I please have this? May I eat this? You begin to wonder, There must be wrong. There must be something wrong with this relationship. Because when I am hungry and I am in my father's house and there is food, I will just walk in and enjoy myself. Hallelujah. It is time for you to enjoy yourself in God. It is time for you to enjoy the blessings of God, the goodness of God. Hallelujah. My. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever has opposed you, whatever has come against you, I come against it in the name of Jesus. We have a covenant with the Father. We are on the winning side in Christ Jesus. Whatever has opposed you, whatever lie has been told to you that you cannot be blessed, there is a curse that runs in your family. Listen to me. When God blesses you, no curse can work in your life. Whatever God has blessed cannot be cursed. Abba Father, God has blessed you abundantly. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Oh, praise God. Let's just stand as we close right now. Father, we give you praise. Just lift up your hands and begin to worship the Lord right now. Give him the praise. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. Because you're worthy to be praised. You are Abba Father. We thank you that we've been transformed into the image of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God. We've been declared fit. We are not guilty. We are set free from every attack of the enemy. Father, we give you the praise this morning. We give you the glory this morning. Because there is no weapon that is fashioned against us that shall be able to prosper. Oh God, we thank you that in you we live. In you we move. In you we have our being. Oh, we overcome every resistance, every thought, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Father, we come against it in Jesus' name as we surround ourselves with the knowledge of the word and the will of God. In Jesus' mighty name, praise God. Hallelujah.